This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
This paragraph Yud Aleph is a beautiful sketch of Jewish life. It's a cameo of Jewish life in amazing detail. Omar Echove, so the Chover explains, Hechosid mimenu, our Hasidim, our righteous people, Nizhar b'mitzvahs eile hadvorim ha'eluki. He's meticulous in his observance of all the godly mitzvahs. What are the godly mitzvahs? Ratzon Olam, that means Hamilah, Bris, Shabbos, Moedim, Yom Tov, the Seirosom, and all that is involved in Shmirah Shabbos and Yom Tov. Hamatzuvim eis ha'elukim which Hashem has commanded. Ulehi shomer min ha'arayis, and to be careful not to become involved in any banned sexual relationships. Akilayim betzemach uvegodim uvechayim, mixing up kilayim, whether it's in linen and wool, or whether it's with vines and uveshmita uveyovel ulehishomim avaydazoro mashenislabo, another type of avaydazoro ulehishomish midrushid yasaneila mizulosu anavua urim vetumim uachalumis aneimonim, not seeking knowledge of the future through means other than the permissible ones of prophecy and the Urim V'Tumim and the interpretation of dreams when it's done correctly. Not listening to charmers and witches and witchcraft and all that type of thing. To keep the laws of Nido and Zav. Not to eat or touch those animals which one may not. To keep away from blood and chelev, because that's part of what goes in the korban. To be careful with any aver that he's done, that he brings the necessary korban, whether it was a shogeg or a mezid. Zulas mashu chayiv bo mipidyon bechor, quite apart from any obligations as far as redeeming firstborns are concerned. V'habikurim v'al koleda shetiyeh lo korban, and any birth where there has to be a korban, he's careful to bring his korbonus. Mashinirim imenu mizivis v'toras korban u'minche, and the resultant zivis, or whether the toras, the korban mincha, biladei mashu chayiv bo imaser rishon, v'sheni imaser oni. Quite apart from Ilchas Maiser, Maiser Rishon, Maiser Sheni, Maiser Oni, the different types of Maiser that one has to take from one's food, Bahara Oyun, Sholish Pomim, Bashonon, going to the Beis HaMikdash 3 times in the year, Bah Pesach, Vatoiros of Shu Korban Hashem, Chayiv Bo Kolezrach B'Yisrael, the Korban Pesach, and all that is involved in the Korban Pesach that every Jew is obligated to bring, Bah Sukkah, Bah Lulav, Bah Shofer, Mashu Tzorich, Ma Kelim, Bechlea Hekdesh, and everything to do with Kelim and Kelea Hekdesh, Atohirim, Limanochas, the Korban Yisraeli, all the halachas that govern the use of the different kelim for these korbanos, he keeps all those halachas too. U'mashu chayiv boi me'akedusha v'hataro, the hilchus kedusha, hilchus taro, shmiras hapeo v'aolo v'kodesh ilulim, and all the requirements of the agricultural halachas, peo, olo, kodesh ilulim, and so on. U'chololo shel dover, and the principle is, sh'yipile ha'elokim mashu yucha li yos ne'man ba'omroi, he keeps all these godly mitzvahs, so that he can be telling the truth when he says, "Loi ovarti mi mitzvesecho v'loi shochachti." I have not transgressed any of your mitzvahs, nor have I forgotten anything. So he paints a picture here of the integrity of halacha. That loi ovarti mi mitzvesecho v'loi shochachti mi mitzvesecho. That doesn't mean I'm generally frum means, or shomer mitzvahs means shomer kol mitzvahs. A person abides by the entire body of halacha, which the Kuzari is scanning through, in a sense. It's the most amazing scan in a couple of lines of the whole body of halacha, of every area of halacha, which is covered. Milvad ha-nadorim va-nadovis va-shlomim, quite apart from voluntary halachas such as nadorim, nadovis, shlomim, mashu mekabel ha-atzmoim, ha-nazirus, eile va-adoim elohim, heim ha-toyrus ha-elikis. All this area is the godly part of the Torah, that which the Rebbeinu Shlomo instructs us. Bashlomas rubum ba'avodas kohanim, and much of it is completed with the avodah of the kohanim. Aval ha'Torah is ha'minhagiyus. Then we have a different area of halacha. That which the Kuzri classifies as Torah is ha'minhagiyus, meaning social laws, laws which any society needs to follow. Kamo loisirtach, not murdering, loisinaf, loisignuv, loisani bereacha, kibud avaim, avas lereacha kameicho, avas somes hager. All these halachas, loving one's friend, loving a ger, loisichachashu, loisichakru ishba amisoi, not denying, not lying, vishrakik minaneshech vaharibis, not charging interest, vizor b'mazne tzedek avne tzedek, v'ifas tzedek v'hin tzedek, being careful about business relationships, that one's measures are accurate, that one's word is a word, vazivas halekes va'oilus va'apeus va'adoyme luze, and leaving lekes and oilus and peus and so on, although he included that already in the first part, didn't he? There he said peo, and here he said the two girsois, that's probably why there are two girsois, ha'peiros, v'ha'peus, but I don't know what ha'peiros would mean. The Mephoshim, the Peiros is also a type of payer, but then I don't know why he brings payer as a social law when he's brought it already as part of Shmiras HaPeah, Orla, V'Kiddush Elulim, as part of the Elohim. I don't know why that's brought again. The Peiros is not just a social law. That could be. Shmiras HaPeah lefidat ekiven bezel lepeas rosh v'zokum ki HaPeah besodik v'anichlo besuke mitzvah min hogi Yosef Moshe. That could be, yeah, that could be. It fits in even with Orlo a little bit, leaving part there. Both of them, Foshim, say that. That could be. And here it's talking about the Peas HaSode, leaving the corners of the field for the poor people. V'aturis ha'nafshius v'hem ha'filosophius. And then there's a third section, which is the spiritual Torah, which is the philosophical part of the Torah. Believing in the Yichud Hashem, in the Achdus Hashem, there should be no other God, not taking God's name in vain, with all that goes on with this, that is around this Torah. What is the addition, what is part of that to believe? That Ribbono Shel Olam knows the secrets of every man, kol shchein ma'aseihim, certainly their deeds, v'divreihim, and their words, v'shehu goymel al ha'toiv v'al ha'romehim, and that the Ribbono Shel Olam responds to every good deed, word, or thought, and to every bad deed, word, or thought, v'chi einei Hashem m'shoitetois b'chol ha'oretz, and the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam sweep over the entire earth. V'ein ha'chosid mis'aseik v'loi cheshe v'loi medaber, and the Ribbono Shel Olam does not act, think, or speak, ad shiyamin, until he reminds himself of the belief, she'imoy enayim royis, that with him there are eyes that are watching, that seifus, looking out, v'goyim loisoyso al ha'toiv al hara, and will respond to any good deed that he does or any bad deed that he does, ufoikdes olav kol me'uvos midiburu ma'aseyu, and will demand accountability for any crookedness in his speaking or in his actions. That's how he thinks constantly. This is this chosid that the Kuzri is defining, is describing, is a person who, apart from meticulous observance of all the sweep of mitzvahs which he has exposed us to, also before any action that he does, before any thought, before any word, reminds himself, he sees the picture of the Ribbono Shel Olam watching and holding him accountable for each thing that he does. V'hu helech v'yoshev k'yorei v'chored, and he walks and sits, whether he's going in somewhere or he's sitting still, whether he's active or passive, he's always keyorei v'choreid, like a person who is yorei, who is aware, who's fearful of the Ribbono Shel Olam, not in an oppressive sense, but in a sense of alertness and seriousness, v'choreid, that he's aware and ready. Hamisbayish mimaisav li'itim kashe hu someach v'sas, who, when he finds pleasure in the material things of life, feels a little embarrassed that he should even find pleasure in them. Not that you're not allowed to find pleasure, but in the pleasure one should feel is this taka the pleasure of life? Is this what I'm enjoying so much, really? Is this fitting that this is what I should be enjoying? like the example that I gave on Friday night of the Baal Simcha is enjoying the meat at his daughter's wedding. There's nothing wrong with it. The food's taken good. You can enjoy it. There's nothing wrong. But he would feel embarrassed. Is that what I'm enjoying if I put my finger? Is that what my simcha is? So it is with us. Sitting on the Shabbos and you're enjoying the food. Very good. Nice. You're entitled to enjoy the food. But is that the ganze Shabbos? Is that where you're holding? That the pleasure of Shabbos is the food? Or the Shabbos shlof? That's the pleasure of Shabbos. That's where we're holding. There has to be a certain busho in the type of things which make us happy. That's really an amazing measure of a person. What gives him pleasure? Well, there are all sorts of measures of people, but this is an interesting one. What makes a person happy? That really tells you where you are. What do you enjoy? What do you really find pleasurable? Usiyaker nafshoi etzloi be'es ha'avoido, and his nefesh should be precious to him at the time that he's really serving avoido. That's when he should feel himself most alive. Uchehilu ilu zoiche tevosel le'rekov k'shusoi ve'latzah ba'avoidosoi. And when he's finding his service of Hashem difficult and he's finding hardship in it, he feels at that time that that hardship is an expression of gratitude to the Ribbono Shel Olam for everything he's received. Uchlolo shel dover, and the principle is, shehu maimin umekabel mashenemar, that he believes and accepts that which is said, histakel b'shloish odvorim ve'ena to aboli de aveiro. Look at three things and you won't come to aveiro. Do malamailu mimoch. Know what's above you. Ayin royev is in shemas v'chol ma'asecho b'sefer nichovim. An eye is watching, an ear is hearing, and all your works are written in a sefer. We have described here something very interesting. I mentioned in the ladies' shiur, I think I've mentioned it to you before too, that the phrases, the terms we use to describe frum people and to distinguish between frum and non-frum people today are totally artificial and they're not halachic concepts at all. When we talk about frum and non-frum, there isn't such a phrase, and that's why it's a Yiddish word, not a Hebrew word. There isn't such a word in the Torah, there isn't such a word in the Gemara, there isn't such a word in Shulchan Aruch, frum and non-frum. Dati and lo dati. So in Hebrew we had to make a modern Hebrew word, which is a Christian word. Dat is a religion in the Christian sense. Misrada Datot is the office of religions, but it looks after the Christian religion and the Muslim religion in Israel. It's not just Jewish religions. The word Dati has nothing to do with Yiddishkeit. Dati you apply to any religious person. Any person who follows a religion is a Dati. So the word Dat is totally foreign to a halachic concept. And then everybody started becoming Dati. So they now they're really Dati and had to make a new word. Now they're Charedim. Yeah, it's a new word. Charedim and non-Charedim. Dati and not Dati. Also not a halachic term at all. Why is it that we're making all sorts of terms when in halacha we don't find these terms? What do we find in halacha? In halacha there's a rosho, such a thing as a rosho. There's an apikoris. So if a person isn't a rosho, he isn't an apikoris, then maybe he's a tinuk shenishba ben akum, he's an uneducated person. Then there's amhoretz, there's talmid chochem, there's tzaddik, there's chosid. Those are the terms, and they're clearly defined terms. But we don't like to use those terms, because if we use those terms, we would have to classify most of us as amaratzim or as rishoyim. Very few of us would be able to, you know, as dati is very convenient. What is I'm dati? And when that becomes too cheap a word, because too many people are dati, then I become chredi, the chavadagud. But in halacha, I'm still an amoritz, that's all. If you look at the definitions, most of the datiyim and charedim and the whole lot, most are amaratzi. Some are worse, some are better, but that's where the majority would fall in, and it's not convenient to be there. Because after all, what is the difference between a dati and a lo dati? So a lo dati doesn't keep Shabbos. Maybe he doesn't keep kashrus. Does he keep certain things? Tzedakah he gives, kibud av va'em he keeps, Yom Kippur he fasts on. So what does it mean, lo dati? It means some things he keeps, some things he doesn't. Is he a rosho? No, he's not a rosho. He doesn't want to keep what doesn't suit him. Let's have a look at the dati. So he keeps Shabbos, he keeps kashrus, he keeps Yom Tov, keeps Lulav and Esreg. Loshon Hora he keeps. Hilchus Talmud Torah he keeps. Hilchus Kibud Rav does he keep? He gives cover to the Rabbonim and to the Gedolei Yisrael. Where from? So what? Why is he more that? Just a matter of degree. It's not a different type of person. He keeps a few more things than the other one. Who's going to judge which one's really keeping more and which one is valued more? So as long as one's keeping selectively, which we're all doing, because Ein Tzadik Bo Tashiyase Tov Lo Yechtel, everybody does wrong. So none of us are datiyim in that sense. That's not a valid definition. The Christians can have such a definition. We can't have such a definition. So none of us are datiyim, or all of us are datiyim. Except a couple of the Alta Apikusim and Ashurim, but that's a different thing. But once you get over that area, then we're all in the same level. So what are the areas? There's such a term as a Ben Toiro. In the Gemara it's called a Chover. What's a Chover? That's what's described here. This is not a Talmid Chochem that he's describing. When he talks about the Chosid, the Kuzri talks about the Chosid, he's not talking about a Chosid in the Mesillas Yeshorim's definition. By a Chosid he means a religious person. What is a religious person? A religious person is a person who follows a religious routine. That is, a person who's governed by halacha in its entirety. A person who can honestly get up and say, Lo ovarti mi mitzvesecho velo shochachti. I haven't been over your mitzvahs and I haven't forgotten. This is a frum yid. That's what it's supposed to be. And we're far from such a thing. But that's the only time that one's really entitled to term oneself a chover, a ben toiro. That's what it is. For the rest of the time, it's sporadic Yiddishkeit. Sometimes we get carried away and we do things a few times and then we stop a little bit and then we do something else and then we stop. It's not consistent. This, we're talking about a person who's absolutely consistent in his Yiddishkeit. Everything he does. And he lives with this feeling that there's an eye watching, there's an ear listening, and that everything he does is written in a sefer. Now sometimes you go into somebody's waiting room and you're sitting there and all of a sudden you look up and you see there one of these electric eyes and the balabos is sitting in another room and he can watch. You go into a bank or something, you're waiting for the manager, all of a sudden you look up, you see that there's one of these little cameras there. It's lovely to watch people when they discover the camera. Immediately I sit up and I start getting fidgety and everything. What's happened all of a sudden? What's changed? Oh, somebody's watching. They didn't realize somebody was watching. That's how one has to live all the time. That in every room in your house, in your motor car, in your office, wherever you go, that little thing follows you. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is watching. The only difference is, Kol Ma'asecha B'Sefer Nichtovim. Then when you're sitting in the manager of the bank's office and you've got this little thing on you, he might take a look every now and again and then it's forgotten. But with the Ribbono Shel Olam, that goes onto permanent video cassette. And it gets labeled with the name and with the date and it gets filed, put away, to await your arrival. When it will be taken out again for discussion. That's the Chol Ma'asecha B'Sefer Nichtovim. B'Sefer doesn't mean that the Ribbono Shel Olam, in the old days they used to imagine the Ribbono Shel Olam sitting there with a long quill pen pouring over his books, writing out. It's not like that. And then you can still come, when you come there you think it's written out, no, you'll explain, the pshat's not like this, it's like that. It's no explanation, it's a video, that's what it means. Plain and simple video. And there'll be no arguing and there'll be nothing to discuss. There you are. That's what you were doing. That's what you were saying. In the old days, they could do it with radio. You could hear tape recorders, you could hear voice. And then all of a sudden the discovery that you could do it with vision as well, you could see as well. The time will still come when you'll be able to do it with thoughts. Slowly by slowly, the Ribbono Shel Olam is revealing his secrets. He's showing us how it's all done. Before the days of radio, who could have understood such a Chol Ma'asecha B'Sefer Nichtovim? Ayin Roya, Izen Shema'az, what nonsense, where from? Ribbono Shel Olam can hear, can see, can observe, can keep. Little by little, technology is revealing more and more of what goes on in the Olam HaEmes. And soon you'll be able to photograph a person's thoughts, his brain waves that he puts out will be communicated, and you'll be able to have an instrument which will pick them up and will be able to record. Already they can do it. While you're sleeping, they can put things on you and tell when you're dreaming and what kind of dreams you're having. So already it's coming close to the fact that they can record your thoughts with all sorts of electrodes on your brain. Come a little bit further, you'll have videos not only of what people are thinking, you'll be able to take a video of your child asleep and play it on your television set and you'll see the dream that they were dreaming. Imagine such a thing. You'll see the thoughts that the person was thinking. And we come upstairs, it'll be that kind of video. Soundtrack, perfect vision, and thought track. So you'll have another track with everything that was being thought going on. What a shrek it is, what a pachad. And that's it. That's what a Yorei Shemayim is. A person who's scared of Shemayim. What's he scared of? Not that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to come down and hammer him. He's scared of the video camera, that's all. He's scared that one day he's going to have to look at it. And Taki, he will have to look at it with Ribbono Shel Olam presence. That's Yiras Shamayim. Dr. Schneller, do people ever notice you photographing them? Do people notice you sometimes when you're photographing them? And when they notice, what do? Any change in behavior? Different day immediately. And he will ensure that that which David has said so accurately and correctly, he who created the ear, can he not hear? Can he who created the eye and the camera and all the rest of it, you think he can't use it? The whole mizmur of Hashem has analyzed me, and you know, Yachashoiv, all that he knows. Yachashoiv ki kol evorov musomim bechochmo v'seder v'shiur. This chosid that we're talking about is constantly aware about how all his limbs are placed meticulously with wisdom, with seder, with measurement. V'yireh oisom nishmoim lechetzo, and he watches his limbs obedient to his will. He doesn't even know what limb to move. If I said to you, right, before you stand up from your chair, describe to me exactly what muscles and what limbs and what sinews and what nerves and what part of your brain has to operate in order to stand up. I don't know. How did that? So how do you do it? How do you manage? Aladimyon shir telokum, as the Kuzri himself says, if you want to get up from your chair, You don't instruct particular muscles to act. Before you notice that they're all operating, they've lifted your body up. You try lifting somebody else up. See how difficult it is. And your own body, 1, 2, 3, you're up. He doesn't even feel them working. He's totally, until he's got a pain, he's got a muscle in spasm or something, then he suddenly feels how difficult it is and how these muscles work. But all the time that he's healthy, he's totally oblivious to all the different workings of the body, the nerves with the muscles and everything working together, he's totally oblivious to it. How complicated the walking movement is. How much synchronization of different parts of the body there has to be to walk smoothly. He doesn't know, he's not aware of it. Or Lashev is to sit, or any other situation. And that's what David HaMelech meant when he said, Ato yodato shivti v'kumi. You, Hashem, know my standing, my sitting down and getting up. I don't know it. You're controlling it. Orchi v'rivi zoreso. My going and my lying down, you lay out. V'chol derochai iskanto, and you prepare all my ways. I don't even know what I'm doing. I just go. But you're controlling it, Ribbono Shel Olam. We go like automates. V'yesim izeh dak v'omuk mimenu evrei adibur, and even more refined and wondrous are the limbs that bring about speech. Look at a baby, a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old. It can talk whatever it hears, it can repeat, it can talk. There's no way that it has the intellect to be able to consciously use and manipulate its organs of speech. Just instinctively, it knows how to do it. He doesn't know what limb he's using and what nerve he's using, what sinews and nerves he's using. And so he wants to, his chest organs, his diaphragm and his lungs, when he wants to sing, all of a sudden he goes into a singing mode and there's a new synchronization of all these different organs to enable him to sing. He doesn't know what he's doing or how he's doing it. As if he has created them and made them and prepared them, it's like making a musical instrument ready for him whenever he needs. And the reason that this is so is the bria, the creation of the world, is different to any human creation. Ki ha'uman, for a human creator, kishu oiser echayim aladimyon ve'yelechloi, when a person makes a machine, he makes a grinding machine or whatever, for example, and then he goes, yasu arichayim mashe ba'avuru nasu, the grinders will continue performing the action for which they were designed to perform. But the Ribbono Shel Olam creates limbs, v'noisein lohem koyches, and gives them koyach. The human being operates with ongoing energy, and that energy is put into him by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Who mamshich lohem im harugoyim, and as every moment the Ribbono Shel Olam adds, he plugs in energy. This is back to the Kuzari's whole shita that we had before, with the need to plug in. The need for davening, the need for learning, the need for Shabbos, the need for Yom Tov. There has to be a channel of communication from the Ribbono Shel Olam to the human being, otherwise his chayus deteriorates, his lifeblood actually deteriorates, because the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's blocking the inflow. The ilu hayum ma'alim alev histalkus hashgachosoi v'hanhagosoi rego echod. And if the Ribbono Shel Olam would remove his attention and his involvement in the world for one moment, the world would totally disintegrate. It's not something which stands of its own accord. The Ribbono Shel Olam is constantly, the input is not only to the human body, but also to the inanimate world. The Ribbono Shel Olam keeps it together, keeps it going, pushes his energy into it, puts his energy into it. And when the chosid thinks of this, whenever he's moving, this is what's through his mind, this is what goes on, he's aware, he's conscious of this at all times. How could he not dedicate to the Ribbono Shel Olam the first part of everything that he does, and always attract the assistance of the Ribbono Shel Olam's energy in anything that he wants to achieve? And with this thought and awareness, a person such as this operates at all times ke'ilu ha-shechino imo, as if the Shekhinah is with him. He feels, he's aware of the fact that my movements, my power of speech, everything I do, my thoughts, are all being energized by the Ribbono Shel Olam. That means the Shekhinah is close by me at all times, and he operates with that feeling. V'hamelochim mischabrim imo bekoyach, and the angels, the various different forces, spiritual forces, actually join him in potential. Ve'im yechezak bechassidus, and if he will strengthen his chassidus, v'yeye b'mekoymes haru'uyin l'shchino, and he will be in places suited for the shchino. Yachberu b'foal, then in actuality, the Ribbono Shel Olam and his spiritual forces attach themselves to him. V'yire oysom ayin ba'ayin l'mata mi'midreigas ha'nevua, and he will be able to look them in the face, eye to eye, just one step beneath prophecy. This is open to anybody. Anybody who lives this way, thinks this way, operates this way, will feel the Shekhinah in potential, raises himself just a little bit more, he will be able to visualize and see the presence of the Shekhinah with his own eyes, eye for eye, just a little bit less than the Nevuah. Provided he's in the right places. That doesn't work if one's walking along Muesenberg Beach or whatever. That's not the place that the Shekhinah finds it comfortable to be. And that's why a person who is a Kodesh, a person who has this level of sanctity, just doesn't feel comfortable in certain places where he feels that the Shekhinah has left him. He is so used and accustomed to that glowing, energetic feeling of the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence, that the moment it moves away from him, he feels very dull. And he doesn't like that feeling, he doesn't enjoy that feeling. Now this is not a yes or no situation, a black or white situation. There are degrees. And even ordinary human beings at certain times can feel something akin to this. If one has a very good davening, one can feel such a thing. Very good davening, one can feel it. It doesn't last for long afterwards, because then one starts thinking about other things and the Shekhinah starts distancing itself. But it gives one a push sometimes. I haven't heard one exception to the principle that a good davening sets in motion a good day. Quite apart from that, good learning does the same. There's nobody who's told me otherwise, that there isn't a direct correlation between the energy that one is able to master and to use during the day and a good davening. What is it? So what it is, a good davening for half an hour, a person's operating on this kind of level, he's davening well and his mind is totally to the Ribbono Shel Olam and he's living this way just for that time, there's an attachment between himself and the Shekhinah. And all of a sudden there's an entire elevation, there's an energy in his body, there's an energy in his mind, there's a sharpness in his perception, and that gives him a push. And if he can bring that back again mincha time, and he can bring that back again ma'ariv time, and he can learn a bit of Gemara, he can learn a bit of Musar, and so keep it up, the next day is still further. And it can become mind-blowing if one could keep that up for 3, 4, 5 days. The degree of energy 5 days later is just incomparable to what was 5 days before. Then usually we go and we blow it because we do something silly, or we skip and we just fall all the way down, and it's a build-up again. But the possibility of these resources together and utilizing them is enormous. This is the energy which makes the world work. This is in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. The Chachomim used to see visions and they used to hear voices. That is the Madrega of Chassidim. Now he's talking about the real Chosid. And one step above Chassidus is the step of Nevuah. That's a level above that. But a Chosid can bring himself up to the level of Nevuah. For Nevuah itself, you need other things. But up to the level of Nevuah, the Chosid can bring himself entirely with his own devices, by the keeping of Halacha, by the awareness of these three things, the video camera, by living that way, by the thoughts that we're talking about, by seeing that one is in a place at all times where the Shekhinah feels comfortable, attached to one, one is able to bring oneself up to the level just a little bit below Nevuah. That's the power of the human being. And these will be the tainas against us. The Ribbono Shel Olam won't have tainas after 120 years why we didn't become Nevi'im. That's not always up to us to become Nevi'im. But why we didn't become Chassidim, that the Ribbono Shel Olam will certainly have such a taina.